أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Welcome to Heavenly Grief I'm your host for today, Habib Zaatar With me today is my brother Sayyid Ali Musawi Al-Jazairi Of course, we would like to send our grief and sorrow to all the Shias around the world and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their deeds and worships and griefs and sorrows on this sad, sad day. So I'm going to start off, Sayyidina, by saying Assalamu alaikum, thank you for coming.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, my dear brother Habib, thank you very much.
It's always an honor to have you and always an honor to see you, my brother. And so for today, what are you going to be talking about?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters across the world. I hope that you are doing well and keeping well. First of all, I have to express my thankfulness and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, for giving us this opportunity to commemorate the remembrance of our sixth beloved Imam, Al-Imam al-Sadiq. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. On the occasion of the anniversary of his martyrdom. I hope that we will be able to have good and advantageous sessions and programs, inshallah, by the grace and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? When we open the books and take a glance at the praiseworthy actions and the virtues of Al-Imam al-Sadiq, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, actually we find ourselves before a majestic, endless ocean. The ocean of virtues and merits that we really experience a feeling of awe and admiration and respect when we stand in front of. So we really get confused where and which quality we should start with and where and which characteristic we should end with. In such occasion, the ultimate thing that we are able to do is to extend our hands and take a handful of this running water to quench the thirst of our hearts and spirits as much as we have capacity for. So in this limited time that I'm honored to be with you and my dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to just focus on one of the most prominent and significant aspects and dimensions of the life of Al-Imam al-Sadiq, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, to speak about. Inshallah, I'm going to talk about his scientific struggle and jihad, inshallah. But first of all, as a necessary introduction, let me mention this precious and amazing fact that despite the seeming difference between the social and political conduct and comportment of our 12 infallible imam, 12 impeccable, immaculate imams, we can analyze their lives as a long, continuous movement and stream which begins from the year 11 after Hijrah, when the Holy Prophet of Islam passed away, and lasts for 250 years until the year of 260 after Hijrah, when the minor occultation of the Imam of our time started. And we mean by the 12 infallible Imam, the Holy Prophet's son-in-law, the Commander of the Faithful, Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the Holy Prophet's two grandsons, Al-Imam al-Hassan wal Imam al-Hussein, and the nine sons of Al-Imam al-Hussein descendants, may God's peace and blessings be upon all of them. I want to convey this attitude that we have to look at the lives of these 12 noble figures.
From what aspect? From the political views, from the people that were around them?
Yes, inshallah, I will continue to get to the point of a political view, inshallah. But right now, I want to convey this attitude that we have to look at the life of these 12 noble figures as that of an individual who lived for 250 years, rather than we analyze the life of, for example, the third Imam, Al-Imam al-Mujtama, separately.
Why is that? Does it make it easier to search for their lives, or what's so significant about looking at it this way?
Because we are searching for the common theme, the common criterion which brings this unity among the life of these noble figures. we will be able to analyze their lives as a continuous movement. Through this perspective, when we look at their lives, we will get more information and more results.
Can we say at the end of the day that all of their lights are one?
Of course.
They're all one light of guidance
at the end of the day.
But just different realities, different, I don't know how to put it much better.
Of course, all of us have heard this great tradition that كلهم نورٌ واحد.
All of them are one light.
But we always actually keep this statement in a spiritual way, that they are spiritually in the same way. But no, I want to bring this unity towards the actually most practical aspects of the life of these noble figures. Because a comprehensive historical analytical view leaves no doubt that all of them have moved only in one direction and all of them pursued only a single objective and goal. From this point of view, every motion, every silence and speech of these great men would be justifiable, understandable, and legitimate. Any fallible, ordinary man, in order to fulfill their destiny and in order to achieve their desirable perfection, implement different policies, strategies, and tactics. Let alone an infallible, immaculate, perfect man whose heart and mind have been illuminated by divine guidance. This universal man, in some occasions and cases, may come up with this conclusion that it's necessary to move fast, while in some other occasions and cases, he may recognize that it's necessary to move slowly, and even sometimes he would rather make a retreat than go forward. But this very retreat, from the point of view of those who are aware of his awareness and knowledge and purposiveness, would be considered as a forward movement as well. So the lifespan of the first Imam, the Commander of the Faithful, beside the life of the second Imam, Al-Imam Al-Mujtaba, beside the life of the third Imam, Al-Imam Al-Husayn, and beside the life of nine other A'imma, in their aggregation, actually compose a continuous, unceasing, long stream and movement that we are able to look at it.
Thank you very much, Sayyid. Unfortunately, we have to take a short break, and please stay tuned. We would like to send our condolences to all the Shias around the world on this very grief and sorrow day. Thank you for joining us. Thank you guys for tuning back. Welcome to Heavenly Grief. We would like to send our condolences to all the Shias around the world, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your grief and sorrow on Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. So we were with Sayyid Ali Musawi al-Jazairi. Sayyidina, we were talking about looking at the Imam alayhi salam as one character, one person, and looking throughout this 250-year span of their life, each one having a special situation. You were talking about how they act and react to their various situations.
Yes, of course.
And I would like for you to continue.
Thank you very much. Yes, we mentioned the fact that from the year 11 after Hijrah until the year 260 after Hijrah, we can consider this period of time as a lifetime of an individual. But in different occasions, different steps and different modes, actually. But a question arises here, a fundamental and important question arises here. This question is this, that what criterion does bestow this unity and consistency and continuity upon the different spans of the life of these 12 noble figures, these 12 infallible people? What was that single direction in which all of them moved?
And similar
was,
goal,
you yes, mean, of course. What goal, was that single goal and objective that all of them pursued? The answer of this fundamental question is this. The common theme of the life of all of these figures was an unceasing and uncompromising struggle, social and political struggle, aiming to establish the governance and dominion of truth through establishing the fact that the position of the spiritual leadership and that of the jurisprudential one are not separable from the position of the political and social authority.
There's no segregation.
Of course.
There's no segregation.
Of course. It means that the one who is the most knowledgeable of the people regarding the actually religious sciences and who is the most spiritual one, who is deserve to be the leader in the cases of scientific problems, in the cases of spirituality, is the most deserving person for political leading of the society. The struggle for establishing such an idea within the society, this is the common theme between the life of all of our a'imma. We are going to put the finger of emphasis on this point. And by the social and political struggle, we mean that their challenges with some of their contemporary figures and individuals were not only some jurisprudential or legal or theological challenges. The purpose behind the question and answer sessions that they held, the purpose behind narrating prophetic narrations for the public and for their companions, the secret behind their intervening in controversial and challenging jurisprudential and theological debates and arguments was not only to establish a new and independent school of thought beside and against those that had already been existing and emerged in the society, to be able to silence their opponents and to be able to prove their own opinions and ideas.
Now, Sayyidina, I just want to ask this question. There might be a statement that someone might claim that the Ja'fari Madhab, right? Because you're talking about standing in front of existing schools of thoughts. And some may state that the same, truthfully so, they state that the school of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, for example, today, which is our topic about Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, was available actually. It was just shown more. It was given light by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. It was available since the day of the Prophet. What Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was bringing, for example, Imam Kadhim, Imam Baqir, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, is the same thought or school of thought that was available by the by the Prophet to the people.
Yes, of course.
And the existing schools of thoughts were actually new and were forced to be opened.
Yes, you know that from the beginning of Umayyad Caliphate, these different school of thoughts emerge in the society. Yes, for example, so the age of these school of thoughts that we are talking about is not more than, for example, 20 or 30 years. Yes, we will emphasize on this fact that actually the mainstream of Islamic thought, which was established by the Holy Prophet himself, was continued through his household. Inshallah, we will mention this fact more deeply, inshallah. Okay? Our a'imma directly opposed their contemporary political and social powers, okay? By actually this struggle, in order to break their majesty and grandeur within the eyes of the people, by establishing the fact that the only person who is deserving to govern and rule over you is the sacred household of your prophet. Yes. Because they are his divinely designated and appointed successors and inheritors, and if you owe allegiance to anybody rather than them, it means that you actually are submitted to the false deities and to illegitimate rulers. That means taghut.
And that could be the reason behind why the triumphant rulers of the time were always oppressing them.
Of course that. The most manifest evidence which actually supports this idea is that all of our a'imma throughout their lifetimes were oppressed by their contemporary social and political powers. They were either jailed or exiled or tortured in a bad situation, and eventually all of them get murdered, either by becoming poisoned or by being killed. Of course, this is the statement of our third infallible Imam, al-Imam al-Mujtaba. He said, "Ma minna illa maqtulun aw masmum." None of us but either was killed by sword or became poisoned. Okay.
It was the second infallible Imam, Imam Hassan alayhi salam.
The second infallible Imam, excuse me.
Thank you very much, Sayyidina. Unfortunately, our time has finished, brothers and sisters. There is a continuation to this to these programs, and this was just an introduction, and I don't think the Sayyid also finished his introduction. And without going inside, without reaching the meat, right? So we're still at the bread. And yet we see so much beautiful words coming out from the Sayyid and beautiful topics. So please join us again on another program, Heavenly Grief. Again, we would like to send our condolences to all the Shias around the world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your grief and sorrow. For now and then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.